what's to come. Orders, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You've made it through the work week. You've made it Friday night. You've made it home to your family, your poetry addiction, World Poetry Open Mic. I'm your humble host, J. Todd Underhill. On my left-hand side, just about every Friday night, he is Mr. Mike Alamede.
Hey, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. It's been a rough week, but we made it through.
Damn, man. I mean, all the things in the news which we're going to get to aside,
yeah,
it's just been a grind of a week, period. And almost everybody I've talked to has said the same thing. It just felt like a long damn week.
I was literally grinding through to the finish line today. I was like,
yeah, So was I.
And someone that always does the grind very well, he is on your left-hand side and my right-hand side. He's the half squatch.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
The grind has gotten to me, but yeah. I'm doing all right. I'm much better now.
Yes. You know, the energy kind of picked up as we're kind of like the triad of the flux capacitor that is poetry radio.
We're a poetry radio trifecta.
So weird.
Yes.
Yeah, triptych.
Triptych.
We're a triptych.
Okay.
All right. So
try like a trip. You got to try.
What we do here is we have three sponsors that help us out with poetry. We want to thank them very much. NatureBox.com, thank you guys. You're our longest supporter. You guys want to eat healthy. Who doesn't want to eat healthy, especially within the world of GMOs and glutens and whatnot? Why not choose the snack option that's gluten-free, GMO-free, sugar-free, but it's definitely not
sucker-free.
It is NatureBox.com. Try NatureBox.com. Your taste buds will never be bored again.
I didn't tell you this. I got asked to, just as a side note, because I know we're going through sponsors, I got asked to consider joining a health food or like farmer co-op that helps give food to people in food pantries. So
nice.
Families and stuff that need food, but quality food. And apparently they're doing some really high-end stuff. But I'm looking into it, and I think it's interesting. And I'm really trying to dive in and learn a lot more about the food industry itself. Now, GMOs specifically, it's hard to eat almost anything without it being genetically modified in some way, shape, or form. But that's what it is. It doesn't mean you are it's done in very questionable, terrible circumstances either. However, the food that is natural and grown in healthy, wholesome ways, that's something that NatureBox is about, and that's something they've always been about. But as I'm learning through this, I start to appreciate it more and more and more.
Yeah.
And it's really something worth looking into, guys, if you haven't already.
It'll help you live longer and help you learn lots more. Kind of like Kinet Books, another sponsor of the show. You want to learn something, you want to learn anything, any college level, check out KinetBooks.com. You can basically get the textbook, use it for your semester, send it back to them, done and done. You don't have to worry about selling it back to the depository. It's just a rental.
And definitely don't put your books back with the suppository.
I said depository, not suppository.
The depository. How do you always have to bring JFK into this?
I just find a way to do it. We needed that commercial like we needed a hole in the head. Anyway.
Wow! Oh, no, you didn't.
See, okay, he did that. Let's go on record. He did it.
Yes.
Okay. I did do that.
Thank you. Right.
So, that aside, if you like JFK the movie, man, and you want something signed by the stars of JFK the movie, HollywoodMemorabilia.com. Check them out. Anything signed by anyone, just about.
Which we're the looking glass here, people. You can hear, go watch JFK. JFK's a great movie. It's not even a sponsor. Go watch that movie, though. Joe Pesci, hilarious, but not, he's not trying to be funny, but he's just hilarious. Anyway, let's face it.
It's Joe Pesci.
And then Kevin Costner's accent changes.
Nails it.
Like
drives it home.
Like Katy Perry says, like a girl changes clothes. I mean,
well,
just,
you know, it's similar to the other movie he was in.
Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where he had it, lost it, got it back, dropped it again. And
speaking of Robin Hood.
Yes.
We lost somebody that I greatly, and we're not talking about the movie,
no, not the big thing.
We well, I mean, this is a big thing, though.
Yeah.
The same age of what we think is close to the same thing. We lost Alan Rickman as one of several losses we had this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What an actor.
Yes.
And just, he's like Christopher Walken in the way that he is just so completely unique in his own delivery.
So he died, I think, was it 1 or 2 days after the birth date of Snape?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No kidding.
That so the role he, well, not the role he got famous for, but, I mean, he made it.
I was really hoping that somehow they were going to find a way to work him into the Star Wars thing as a relative of Kylo Ren.
That would have been really interesting.
Kind of a couple goth Sith walking around, you know, just being emo together.
Wow.
No, right. I mean, but then, you know, this has been a week. Sheriff of Nottingham in that Robin Hood movie.
Yes.
Great. I hadn't seen that movie in a long time.
Hans Gruber.
Hans Gruber.
From Darhyde. I've been having a lot of spoonerisms running out of my mouth this week.
You get
your
Merzwick stuff?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So I apologize ahead of time.
Like, all right.
Die Hard. Sorry.
That one too. All right. What we do here is we do poetry as long with lots of talk about crazy stuff like movies and whatnot.
Woo!
We want your poetry, 1 to 3 minute long. You're going to want to call in 720-240-9766, but you want the rules. Hate-free zone, no hate speech. There we go. Wow, I caught it from you, is what it is.
My apologies.
Okay. And, of course, we want a PG-13 or better. No magical F-bombs until the first week of the month when we do After Dark. But call in now, 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766. Give us a pwn on the call. What?
Oh, man.
Again? Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice, we're recovering from that technical glitch. No, actually, you should have seen us all gasp at the same time. When we're sitting here, we have Skype open, ready to go. And we go into our call segment, and it says, oh, now updating Skype. We're like,
No, you're forgetting. It went closed. Yeah. Then he relaunched, and it's like, updating. We're like, what? Yeah. What happened?
Yeah. We're trying to do a radio show here, Skype. Get your shit together. Stuff together.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. But we do have 5 callers lined up right now. Hopefully they're all on the line and ready to go. Please welcome our first caller from Michigan. He is Dennis. Hello. Bear with us for just a moment, brother. We got more technical difficulties we're shooting for.
Yes, I will.
All right. I appreciate it, Dennis. It's been a while since we've really had...
Be gone with
like
these
this,
foul
okay?
demons that possess this computer.
Oh, no.
You have been healed.
Now you're going around exercising everything. That's awesome.
I'm faith healing the computer. Yeah, we are.
That's right. It's just a few little things that when they flip it with a... when we have the software update, there's a few little configurations that suddenly he has to jump in and do, and it's easy to miss one little piece. So he's getting that done right now. All right. So anyway, so for the people who are listening to the show but can't hear Dennis yet, Dennis is actually on the line. We can kind of communicate with him, but you can't hear him yet.
Yes. But what a week. David Bowie passed away. Thank God. JT's got a plethora of Bowie music on his computer to get us through these.
Who doesn't have a plethora of Bowie music?
Well, we're coming out of the break, and I'm like, thank God it wasn't Justin Bieber that passed on, because we'd have been playing Baby Baby over and over again.
Now, you know, the thing is we make fun of Bieber, but if you actually go back and you look at the context of Elvis and his time and things like that, of course, now we have some perspective on it, but really... Yeah. We probably would have hated the Beatles at our age at this moment too.
Well,
just saying.
Yeah, but no, I don't make fun of Bieber. I'm just saying I was making fun of the fact that the catalog is a lot larger for Bowie.
Well, yeah,
Bowie's got.
He was 69 years old. All right, so he's plugging in. Okay, we're getting close. We're getting close, everybody. So, you know, so a lot of people don't know this. My brother. David is actually named after David Bowie. My parents, who are both musicians, met in music school.
Yeah.
That is that was, you know, a huge person for them, even though they're very classically inclined and they listen to everything in depth. Bowie was one of the ones they really, really loved.
Yeah, I shared on a friend's Facebook post about Bowie. He's in the entertainment industry too. Someone JT and I are friends with. I'm like, can you be involved in the entertainment industry and not be affected by David Bowie's presence at all? And he's like, impossible.
Maybe.
Inconceivable.
You think? I mean, I don't know. Where do you think someone like Enya is affected by David Bowie?
The fact that he was the first artist, real artist, that had to completely reinvent himself repeatedly to fit each musical era that he was in.
Well, that's true. And he did it ahead of the curve, too. I mean, yeah. The thing is, you know, Bowie would do something, and then 2 years later, everybody else would do it. Or 10 years later, as the case might be.
Try him out.
All right. Dennis, are you with us now?
Yes, I am.
Awesome.
Woo-hoo! There we are.
Success.
It works.
All right.
Good job, JT.
Our half-squatch can breathe easy
yes,
now.
Yes, thank you, JT.
All right. Now you want to share some poetry with us, right, sir?
Well, of course I do, and I, too, was touched by the passing of David Bowie. What a talent.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you just don't see that kind of talent every day. He was certainly a unique individual.
Yes. We're going
to
do
I would like to share a poem, a song, a poem written by David Bowie.
Okay.
The title is Song for Bob Dylan.
Nice.
And this is it. Oh, hear this, Robert Zimmerman. I wrote a song for you about a strange young man called Dylan. With a voice like sand and glue, his words of truth and vengeance, they could pin us to the floor. Brought us a few more people on and put the fear in a whole lot more. Ah, here she comes. Here she comes. Here she comes again. The same old painted lady from the brow of a super brain. She'll scratch this world into pieces as she comes on like a friend. But a couple of songs from your old scrapbook could send her home again. You gave your heart to every bedsit room, at least a picture on my wall. You sat behind a million pair of eyes and told them how they saw. Then we lost your train of thought. The paintings were all your own. While troubles are rising, we'd rather be scared together than all alone. Ah, here she comes. Here she comes. Here she comes again. The same old painted lady from the brow of a super brain. She'll scratch this world to pieces as she comes on like a friend. But a couple of songs from your old scrapbook could send her home again. Now hear this, Robert Zimmerman. Though I don't suppose we'll meet, ask your good friend Dylan if he'll gaze a while down the old street. Tell him we've lost his poems, so they're writing on the walls. Give us back our unity. Give us back our family. You're every nation's refugee. Don't leave us with their sanity. Ah, here she comes. Here she comes. Here she comes again. The same old painted lady from the brow of a super brain. She'll scratch this world to pieces as she comes on like a friend. But a couple of songs from your old scrapbook could send her home again. End of poem.
Very well done, Dennis. You're gonna want to see if you can find another David Bowie piece, because we're gonna kind of do this like the Lou Reed special that we did when Lou Reed passed on. We're gonna have a standalone segment of all tributes for David Bowie. I would love for you to call back in with another one for that one.
For the recall?
Well, no, it's going to be after the return engagement. We're going to be doing a standalone David Bowie.
We'll see. We'll see how quickly things move because we don't want it to get so late that everybody drops off and doesn't want to stick around for it. So we're going to have to see how things develop, but we may change that and move it up a little bit.
All right. I'll see what I can do. I'll try to oblige you. Thank you very much. Let's move on.
Thank you, Dennis, very much for all that you do for our show.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That was Dennis on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
JT, you're having a rough night. We're good. Everything's fine. Harness your chi.
We're okay.
Put down the cheese and harness your chi.
That's what's missing.
Speaking of cheese, really quickly. We were going through, you know I teach drama, and I was teaching three-act story structure.
Yeah.
And so I figured poets will get this. And I had this seventh grader who just finished the drama course today. And he put this beautifully. He goes, I finally get how the three-act structure works. I go, yeah? He goes, like this. Act one, I like cheese. Act two, do you like cheese? Act three, we both like cheese. And he laughed and he walked off, and I thought, in a really convoluted way.
That made sense.
That's totally right. Yeah. That's actually completely right. Statement, question, answer.
Yep.
Three acts. Boom.
Very done. Very well done.
But in cheese. So there you go.
But in cheese.
So that's a poet who has not been mysteriously silent on the subject of cheese.
Someone who else isn't mysteriously silent on the subject of cheese, please welcome from Florida. She is KK98.
Hello.
Hello. How do you feel about Munster cheese?
Scary.
I think it's good. I like it.
Really? Sometimes it frightens me. It sounds scary. I just stay away from it as much as I can.
Yeah, I saw it once. It wasn't bad.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
You think I should try it? Maybe I'll be brave enough to try it this weekend.
I think you can.
Okay.
I believe in you.
Okay. I think I can. I'll try it, and I'll tell you about it next week.
So do you have a poem you'd like to share with us?
Yes, I do. It's called Not Alone.
All right.
To those who feel all alone, she feel nothing but aching bones. I know it's been rough, but you are strong and tough. Don't give up. Just take a deep breath and look up. If you start to sink, just open your eyes and peek around. I will be here to lift you up and remain to hold you up. Remember you are loved, and I wish I could give you a hug. If you ever need a friend, just look straight ahead. I am here. Stay strong, my lovely dear. And that's my poem.
Very well done, KK.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing on our show. Hopefully we hear from you later, too, okay?
All right.
That was KK98 on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Yeah.
Good start.
Yeah. You know,
nice strong start.
Yes,
but can we keep it up? Is this a marathon or a sprint?
This is a marathon,
Mr. Underhill.
Always been in marathon, so we're gonna jog our way over to the left coast, all the way up in Canada. Please welcome Cynthia.
Hi.
Hey, welcome back to our show.
Thank you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
So I have a longer poem than usual for me, but I think it fits in the limit. I wrote it for orange because nothing rhymes with orange. I thought it might be lonely. So I wrote it a poem.
All right.
This is called A Tribute to Orange. The changing leaves in the cherry tree by my balcony, welcoming cooler mornings of coffee and cream. The moon in harvest time, tea and tiny cakes. My first mid-autumn festival in an apartment in Burnaby, as I tutored students in poetry, the generosity of the girls serving me with two open palms and sending me home with extra. The color of the tie-dyed skirt I admired in the window of a high-end Granville shop, $45 I didn't have that whole summer. Years later, I returned and purchased an orange top from the store next door that I wear with the memory of the window skirt from the summer of 97, when I had been sleeping on two separating couch cushions in a smoky basement, amazed at the possibility of a new life in BC. The first time I saw a $4 coffee, spending all of what was left of my savings on beverages at Starbucks for the family that housed me. The light of the sun as I purchased my first book in BC, Timothy Fenley's Memory, at a secondhand bookstore on Granville. The hue of fall when I returned to BC for work, and the moon I fell in love under in my 30s off Commercial Drive. My Wiccan boyfriend singing tunes to the spirits through all-nighters and essays, and me falling in love despite the fact he was leaving. The embers in a film I saw in kindergarten, how they held me in meditation the first time I lost myself into a moving image, like I had with the orange and yellow angel in the Advent calendar. I stared at her so long, perhaps seeking my spirit self, the shaman within. The colors of the healing chakra light in my raven dream, sparks of yellow and orange, as children danced softly in a circle, and my spirit protected them. My calling to become Raven. He didn't miss the colors at all. He is all of them. The color of my beloved Alice Walker book, painted like the walls of my 13th Avenue apartment. The glow of the neighbor's porch light through the rain, amber warmth reflected in puddles, like Paris Cafe candles in the night. The first color I see mixed with violet when I close my eyes. End poem.
Beautiful. Love the imagery.
Thank you.
Oh, that was really good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Man.
I'm a huge fan of your work. That was great.
Thank you so much.
So are you going to call us back at either the return engagement or the Bowie section, either or, if you'd like, or both?
Both, I think.
Awesome. Cynthia, thank you for all that you do for our show as well. That was Cynthia on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
I believe that was her, like, yeah, mic whatever. Yeah, whatever junk, whatever, Underhill.
Whatever, Mr. Underhill.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, that phrase is uttered a lot.
Is
whatever,
really?
Mr. Underhill.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually by my wife, but hey, you know.
Or
whatever.
When you're like, hey, let's do World Poetry Open Mic 10 days a week.
Whatever.
Whatever, Underhill.
Yeah. Someone who will never utter that phrase, God, I hope not, please welcome from Connecticut, she is Barbara.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
I was worried because the sound went off with Dennis, and I had to refresh.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it might be your problem, but it's my problem because, as Philip says, I always have too many windows open. So.
Well, you know, to be fair, Barbara, we did put on black masks and large black mustaches, which we were cackling and laughing about when the sound did cut out. So that could have been that's our anti-hero tendencies coming into play over software that we have no control over.
Okay. So you said that you're having something like a time to call in with David Bowie poems. Is
correct.
That what you're saying, or?
After our return engagement is the way we did it last time with the Lou Reed Memorial is we ended our show kind of like an After Dark. We ended our show and then we did the tribute show.
The one thing we want to be careful about, and we don't know how we're going to figure it out. We're going to move like as planned, like Jay Todd's saying. But we also don't want it to be so late that no one's going to want to do it either. So it may be if it ends up getting late, we might roll return engagement into the Bowie thing as the same sort of deal. Yeah. But we'll reserve that judgment.
Yeah, because I do have a David Bowie poem.
Well, you all right? Absolutely. We have
you'll
some stuff planned
too. You'll get a
little
bit of warning.
Yeah, you'll get warning.
Okay, so I didn't want to read it now, so I wait till later.
However you'd like to do it, we will welcome Bowie poetry between now and.
Bowie poetry is kind of, at this moment, it's kind of like apple pie. We're still getting ready for the meal, but, you know, you can eat dessert at the beginning. That's okay.
Well, I'll tell you what. I won't. I won't then. I'll save it for later.
All right.
And I will read you a poem that I wrote today for a friend, and I hope this friend is listening because she loved it. So here goes. For a friend. The pain is so extreme it shows in your eyes as your hand clenches and unclenches, revealing how speaking of the incident affects you. Your manner and demeanor so quiet and refined, as if you were talking of another's dilemma. And yet I see a conviction there too, a determination not to let this overwhelm you, to forge on despite the obstacle and recreate the life you once thought was the one you hoped for in dreams. Not to let the forces of evil destroy the calm exterior you fight to maintain. And I see the careful way you now live your life, everything in place as if the neat exterior will help to calm the turmoil inside. And my heart breaks for the way you push on and refuse to accept the torment and the shackles placed upon you by another. How you hold your head proudly and continue to plan and hope for what is life without hope. And how can life go on when that hope is trampled under by the big boots of someone who walks over your world as if he were the owner? In poem.
Another excellent piece, Barbara. You just keep penning them and penning them. We'll keep listening.
I don't know. This one came out. They all come out so fast. It's like, boom, there they are.
Yeah.
It's very true. Yeah.
It's because you're dialed into the muse.
Probably dialed into the muse, yes. 5 minutes, that's it. 5 minutes.
That's all you need, really?
No, that's what Jay Todd's wife's been saying for years.
Wow, that went after dark real quick.
I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry. I've been teaching at a Catholic school all week.
I know.
Barbara, thank you.
I don't even know what he said. You just
wait till you hear the rebroadcast. Yeah, you'll love it.
That's all.
You know, evidently I'm the whipping post for this radio show, but that's all right. I've got broad shoulders.
I guess we're going to play some choir music, so, and I'm going to get a shroud of Turin in here.
So I will call back with the David Bowie poem that also took me a very short time.
Sounds good.
So, okay.
Thank you, Barbara.
I must have the muse inside me.
There you go.
Okay. I'll talk to you guys later. All right.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic.
The next evolution in poetry radio.
You've got to quit it, man.
What?
Those after dark references are killing
me. You know what? You just tickled him under the table. That was hilarious.
That's okay. I mean, we're talking about, you know, we're talking about the muse. It binds us. It, you know.
It's not the force, but it kind of is.
It kind of is.
It is
you
the force.
You just can't move
it's,
rocks
it's literary
with it
force.
By
I have the muse inside of me, which keeps me in a penitentiary of art. Boom.
Yes.
See that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well done. Well said.
Thank you for that one.
God help us all. Jack Kerouac, we have sinned against you. Please forgive us.
I actually made the comment about the get off my lawn thing, and then my brother, I met it in front of my brother James, and he goes, did you talk about getting off on someone's lawn?
All right. I'm done.
Wow.
Oh, my. Michael.
I
can't cut him off.
I'm getting grumpy.
That's right.
Okay. I've been getting grumpy this week.
Don't get
I'm sorry.
Grumpy.
I'm happy. Okay. I'm happy right now. Okay.
If we were a movie, we'd be called Grumpier Old Poets. Anyway, we do have one more poet left in the segment. Please welcome another grumpy poet. He is from Kentucky. He is Philip.
Howdy, fellers.
Hello. Welcome to our show.
I appreciate it. And I really also appreciate the nod to David Bowie. He will be sadly missed.
He will be. I was sharing with Michael outside of the poetry show realm that he had that same connection to the Mr. Robert Mordlin that Lou Reed did, and he's like, by all means, we've got to do another tribute show like that. So,
well, I think that's timely and honorable. In fact, after you guys were mentioning his demise, I started listening to Up Montreal tonight. You know, I don't know that there's a direct link between the styles, but I like to think so, along with many other great bands that are out there and still playing great music. But I think he was a huge impact on the musical world. So
on many musical genres.
Yeah.
We were talking about it. He played with a guy from Tool and a guy from... What was that other man?
He didn't play with anybody. They played with him.
They played with him, but you know what I mean. He performed with.
Yeah. Well, but ambient music, jazz, and everything. But, I was talking to someone else because I spent... Philip, you'll like this. So I'm teaching, like I said, at a Catholic school, right? It's a traditional school.
Right.
And the moment that happened, I just said, you know what? Damn it, I'm going to show all these kids Bowie. And
it's
so they learned about... Not only about David Bowie, but they learned about Nine Inch Nails. They learned about the Rolling Stones. They learned...
Yeah.
It just kept going, but... One of the things that we were talking about, I was talking to another teacher who's a big Bowie fan, and you can't call him rock, actually. You
no.
can't call him pop, actually. You can't call him jazz. He's David Bowie, who then
right.
kind of redefined everything that he touched, and that was brilliant.
Yeah, and I think that's really one of the highest compliments you can pay an artist when you recognize that they are really a genre unto themselves.
Absolutely.
You know?
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed 100% on that one.
Lou Reed was like that, too. He was a genre unto himself.
And we wouldn't know about Lou Reed if it wasn't for Bowie putting some of his money into relaunching his career.
There you go.
Iggy Pop
right,
also.
Yes.
So.
Well, I don't want to keep you guys too long, and I'll get to my poem, as I say here.
Is that what they say? Get to your poem?
Get to your poem, man.
Get your quit your belly aching. Get to your poem so we can go home.
Quit your dang gabbing and get to it.
I got three raccoons and a bear, a little thing with some skunks in the other part. Get your damn poem done so we can go home.
Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry. I'm actually not on anything. I just I'm going to qualify that. I'm just nuts.
Well, I'm just glad you're feeling better, Mr. Amadei.
I am.
You know,
I am.
A couple of weeks ago, you sounded kind of pretty bad there. You know?
Like, I did sound bad. And I got to tell you, I was grumpy as hell the last 24 hours. But I somehow walked in, and JT and Jay Todd just cheered me up. I feel great. So I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to feel good. I'm happy to be with all of you. And I'm feeling good.
Gosh, that felt like a group hug.
It was a group hug. That's how we got him to feeling better.
It was a group something.
It's a group something. Well, I'm going to be good because I got to remember this is a PG show, so don't get me started. All right. I will segue into the poem. Here's one of my lengthier titles, Mr. J. Todd Underhill, which I know you were appreciative of. So here it goes. This is just a title. Don't confuse it with the poem itself. Monologue echoed in an abandoned home of broken clocks decorating the blank walls and mantels with empty picture frames. And here's the poem proper. Effete nights expended, resisting the world's hollow temptations, mercilessly reiterated lustrous as lascivious, those promises offered with soft breath smolder. Eternity's endless prospect wearies even the stoic's will, remnants that resemble stones, weathered by a harsh sun, and lonely seasons lived on unleavened bread alone. Wander my starry, solemn eyes of cinder, blackened and charred in the desert, where I trade beastly mortality for rewards more perishable than one's epiphanic soul. Vis-a-vis the dread adversary who shows me freedom in shackles, political aplomb gained by convincing false testimony, and decadent kingdoms that will collectively bow to heedless leaders who feed the defeated masses their own cannibalized ashes. Count every failure until I realize this too is vanity, an empty attempt at salvation, won by foolish imitation of one who has no equal and knows no pride. And there it is, fellas.
Epic title, epic poem. I loved it.
I appreciate it, and I look forward to the return engagement. And until then.
All right. Looking forward to hearing from you again, brother.
All right.
That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio. And he informed me this yesterday morning. He's like, hey, your book's on your way. So we're going to have a new studio book as well.
A new studio book. You know what else?
We're collecting them. We've got Charles Bukowski. We've got Shel Silverstein. We're going to have Philip. We've got Poetic Portions.
We have Cynthia's.
Yeah.
Yep.
And by the way, I also want to throw this out. If anybody who went and bought the World Poetry Open Mic Anthology, which I know a lot of people have done, if you could do us a favor, jump back on Amazon and give it a high rating.
Yeah,
give it. I don't think we have any reviews up there for it yet, and it doesn't take you more than just a minute or two. Go ahead and do that. We'd really appreciate it.
Give it the Half Squatch 9 thumbs up rating.
Yeah, 9 thumbs. Yeah, you and your thumbs, man.
I know.
They're everywhere.
So, we've been through 5 callers. Do you have a submission you'd like to read, good sir?
Broom. Yes, I do. I don't even know what that sound was, man.
I don't know. We've been hearing weird sounds all night long.
Well, you know, I'm really good with making sound effects with my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point.
Case in point.
All right. All right, here we go. So this one is from a longtime longtime poet.
Participant
in the show. This is from Steve Janka. This one is called The Sounds of War. The evening begins as usual as can be. From nowhere, the night is filled with noise. The possibility of death again comes to me. The bullets flying and tracers whizzing past your hidden ears. Automatic weapons noise now gives birth to familiar fears. But this evening happened years ago, yet it plays out again at will. Post-traumatic stress is all that and more as you awaken in your bed, dead still. Yet no one loves the warrior until the enemy is at the gate. So say a prayer for soldiers today who've been called to an unknown fate. To veterans everywhere, suicide is not the answer to the pain still locked inside you. There are many good organizations that will help you if you reach out. So make the call today. And that was from Steve Janka, called The Sounds of War. Ooh.
So a little tidbit onto what he writes. He sends us a lot of poetry having to deal
military.
With his military career, okay, or military career in general,
right?
And I've my wife works for the
VA hospital, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Right. And she has come across a lot of veterans who do write poetry.
They should be calling the show.
They should. And they write it for therapy.
I wonder if we could reach out to them somehow.
It'd be great. Yeah. There's a booklet that they fill out. You know, there's all sorts of stuff that they do on their end. But it'd be great if they called in, because...
Well, I mean, we want to give them that, and I know that our you know, family here would really welcome them.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I started writing poetry for therapy, to be honest. So
that's good.
Did you?
It's a good outlet.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So this is one. Now, mind you, we lost David Bowie, Alan Rickman, Grizzly Adams today.
Yeah.
Tara Ray Static chose to end her own life. She missed her husband. And all of this has got me thinking. And I wrote a poem back in 2011. This is entitled Unfinished. When I die, I want to be in front of a poem, mid-stroke taken from this earth to leave this world doing what I love, leaving some piece with a hidden meaning unfinished, leaving this world and those who read me to ponder, what was it I was trying to convey before I died? I want to have my lips stained licorice, nicotine, and hot java. I want to leave this world as me, comfortable with who I am. I do not want anyone to mourn. I do not want anyone to weep. Quite contrary, let the celebration begin. Celebrate my life and what I was about. Celebrate where I went, there is no doubt. Let the music play unending, read some poetry at my celebration, smile and laugh with me, for I will be in heaven smiling as well, knowing that I was me no matter what. I'm a book easily read, like these humble words I write, make the most of the cards you have been dealt, embrace life to its fullest. For life is fleeting like a warm summer's day, and you never know when it will be over. Make your last words on this earth meaningful, and make your first words in heaven. Damn, that was so friggin' cool.
Nice. Very nice.
So, really good. Hopefully that happens a long time from now.
Yeah, hopefully so. I mean, I was thinking about it the other day that, you know, I mean, when something like, you know, Bowie or you know, for me, he was kind of always a mainstay in my musical education. And as I put on social media earlier this week that, you know, I grew up with, you know, Beethoven and Tchaikovsky and all these people and Bowie.
Yeah.
And the Beatles. And, you know, I mean, so he was on, as I said, the like my personal Mount Rushmore of, you know, the icons of music. And so when someone like that, that you've known for a really long time, who's was kind of an elder to you, I guess, in a way, it does move things and it changes your model of the world a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it's almost like when you lose them, you realize just how remarkable they truly were. That guy made no Bowie made no compromises.
No,
absolutely none. None of us could do that crap at our jobs.
No.
And get away with it. None of us.
I was on my back porch this morning having my first smoke of the morning. I was thinking about it, and I was like, David Bowie was to me musically and poetically kind of like my parents. You always think that they're going to be there forever, and then all of a sudden, bam, you're like, what the? So,
well, and that's the thing that I got to as well. And, you know, we all have different, a lot of us have different models for, you know, what we think life is about and everything. And I really got to the point where, you know, I realized that for me, life is not about moving towards some, you know, destination called success or happiness or whatever. Yeah, you work towards it and you go through things and you get, you know, you work through challenges, but there is no completion. You're not just going to suddenly reach that mountaintop and everything will be great from here on down, even if you win the Powerball from $1.5 billion thought. And in the end, all you get is the person you become by working through the trials that you have gone through. And or the artistic creation or the spiritual development you allow yourself to go through, all you get is that.
Yeah.
And because of that realization, I actually, strangely enough, I really wasn't really afraid of death at all. But I've now just kind of said, you know, I'm ready to do whatever comes necessary. If that ends up being soon, I'm very happy. I'm not sad to do it. I'll be sad to leave, but you know, who knows? Who knows? But I'm ready to greet it whenever it is, you know, because I'm waiting for the next adventure, too.
And we're ready to greet you. So if you haven't called our show yet, give us a call, 720-240-9766.
I feel like a whore. 720-240-9766.
You are one.
Well, slap me sideways.
All right.
Oh, we're on.
Yes.
Oh.
How much will that cost me?
More than you can afford.
Yes.
You can afford.
All right. So we did not get a caller during that segment, which triggers.
That was lame.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw that out there.
Which triggers the return engagement.
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 Engagement. I love that horn of Gundor.
Yes.
That's really good.
Thank you.
Very well done.
I bought it at a Renaissance festival.
Yes. I'm sure you did.
I did. For $30,000. No, I'm kidding.
That's $30,000 well spent.
Off, by the way.
Did I?
Yeah. I sold it to him.
Very nice,
anyway.
Very nice guy dressed like half Boromir, half Captain Jack Sparrow sold it to me.
There you go. Wow. My brain just short-circuited on that one. Thank you. All right. So if you've called our show before and want to share again, now is not the Bowie segment, but you can call and share a second poem, 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766.
Call now. This is World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Yeah, that had lots of different elements in one song.
We're sitting here listening to it going, what? Wow.
What a true.
Wow.
True, yeah. A genius.
Yeah. Genius, man. Genius.
So we've got five callers lined up for our return engagement.
It's a low call volume night.
Yes.
Wonder what's going on. Is there anybody famous out there or something? Is Caitlyn Jenner making an announcement about anything? Or
I don't know. The debate was last night.
I don't think she'd be at the GOP debate, man.
Caitlyn Jenner?
Probably not.
I thought that was Trump's running mate. Sorry.
Oh, no. So you get a picture, J. Todd's laughing at himself, and both JT and I just have our head in our hands, and we're just shaking our head going, oh, no.
Yeah.
That's a...
All right. So, to avoid any other damage to the show, let's go to the poetry. Please welcome from Kentucky, looking nothing like...
Stop it. Please welcome
Philip.
I'll play any role you want me to, sir.
He is the Colonel Mustard of our clue game that we call World Poetry Open Mic.
But only with the candlestick, please.
Only with the candlestick. Sometimes I...
oh!
Sometimes we have two. Dark. Sometimes we have two. Yeah.
You guys
don't look at me like
out.
That!
Yeah, okay. Yes. Hello, Philip. Sorry about that.
Oh, wow. All right.
I hear a moment of silence there. Is it time to read a poem?
Yeah, I think so.
It was an awkward but comfortable pause.
Well, never fear. It's never awkward with me, sir. You just, let it fly. That's the way I look at it. So,
it's never awkward. Yeah. Just let it happen? Okay.
Yeah, well, I just let it happen. I let it fly. That's why I can't go out in public.
After midnight, let it all hang out, So.
Nice.
You get arrested for that kind of talk around these parts.
I know, right? I'll get to it then. I'm going to go out on a short little love poem, as they call them, one of them quasi sonnets, and not a terribly long title. And here we go. While you were away for a period longer than 24 hours, pale winter sun burns white behind ethereal clouds, delicate as a bride's veil that conceals blushes rosy as anticipated spring. Your faint perfume lingers like a fading verdant season. Harvests reaped past midnight. Dusk that approaches solemn as faithful pallbearers who heft the remains of cold daylight upon broad horizon shoulders. Your long hair threaded in memories, the emblazoned color of sunset snow. And there it is, fellers.
Very well done, Philip.
I appreciate it, sir. And I really appreciate the kind mention about the book. That's really, you made me blush, and it means a lot to me. It really does.
Awesome. Now, are you calling back for our special Bowie segment?
Well, I have no particular Bowie poem on tap here. I was not prepared for this, but I would be more than happy to call back in. Is it just any poem or just
however we want to do it?
However you'd like to do it. If you'd like to do a poem that reminds you of David Bowie, one that encapsulates your view on David Bowie, or if you wanted to pull a Mariah and just write one between now and when you come back on the air, you could do that as well.
I'd leave that for Mariah's forte, but
yeah.
I'll dig through my stuff and see what I've got, and I really appreciate the invitation. So I will see you for the return engagement. So.
The double return engagement.
All right, I appreciate it. Cheers, fellas.
All right, thank you, Philip.
All right, you're welcome.
That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio.
Yeah.
We have...
That's,
Philip going
that's
first.
Ticket.
How do we follow up, Philip? We go right to the poetry stage.
Well, my hands are freezing. Maybe we need some mittens.
There you go. Please welcome from Michigan. He is Dennis.
Hello, I'm back to the return engagement.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I have a short poem for you this time.
Okay.
It's something I've written recently. The title is Empty Pages. And it's written in tanka form.
Right.
And this is it. Empty, pale pages, inviting my perceptions, fresh as New Year's snow, begging for footprints of life, poems, tales, Please witness Mark's end.
Another great write from a great person in the middle of a great poetry state.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that title, although we know it's not entirely true. It's still welcome. There are so many great states and great countries that contribute to your show, and we were glad to be a part of it.
Thank you, Dennis.
All right, I'm going to get off and let the next poet on, and we'll get to the tribute very soon. And until then, I say God bless.
God bless you, Dennis. That was Dennis on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
You know, you got some pretty great lakes in that there, Michigan.
That's, yeah, true. But I joke with it, Michigan being the poetry state, there are great poets all over the world, and to some of the finest call our show and share with us. And not to mention this great poetess from the Great White North, eh? Please welcome Cynthia.
Hi.
Hello. Welcome back to our show.
Thank you. So I have a cover for my second one.
All right.
Since it's a little bit of a sorrowful week, I found one of my favorite sorrowful poems, The River Merchant's Wife, by Li Po, translated by Ezra Pound.
Okay.
It's a famous one. While my hair was still cut straight across my forehead, I played about the front gate, pulling flowers. You came by on bamboo stilts, playing horse. You walked about my seat, playing with blue plums. And we went on living in the village of Shogen, two small people without dislike or suspicion. At 14, I married my Lord Yu. I never laughed, being bashful. Lowering my head, I looked at the wall. Called to 1,000 times, I never looked back. At 15, I stopped scowling. I desired my dust to be mingled with yours. Forever and forever and forever. Why should I climb the lookout? At 16, you departed. You went into far Kuchoyen by the river of swirling eddies, and you have been gone 5 months. The monkeys make sorrowful noise overhead. You dragged your feet when you went out. By the gate now, the moss is growing. The different mosses, too deep to clear them away. The leaves fall early this autumn in wind. The paired butterflies are already yellow with August. Over the grass in the west garden, they hurt me. I grow older. If you are coming down through the narrows of the River Kiang, please let me know beforehand, and I will come out to meet you as far as Kofusa and Pum.
Very well done. Great cover. Great translation.
Thank you. I love that image of at 15 wanting your dust mingled with your partner.
Yes.
The way that her view changes.
I like the, and I like the fact that Ezra Pound was the one who translated that.
Quite amazing.
A great poet translating a great poet.
Actually, when I teach this to my students, a lot of them speak Mandarin. They say when you look at the Mandarin, you can't even put all of it into the English. Just like it's so well done already in English, but when they read it in Mandarin, they're even more amazed.
Nice.
It makes you wish you could understand what he was working with.
Yeah. Wow. Great piece.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for sharing on our show, and we're going to be getting to the Bowie segment here real soon, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Cynthia. That was Cynthia on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. All right. And from Cynthia, we're going to head out now to Connecticut. Please welcome Barbara.
Hi.
Hello. Again. Welcome back to our show again.
I searched through all my poems, and I think this one, although I was looking, I have a lot of poems about what I do when I die, but I didn't, because that reminded me of your poem, but then I thought, no, no, it's too much death.
Oh,
so,
yeah. You can do whatever.
The death of the day, you know, that's evening. It's called evening.
Okay.
Okay, evening. The sun, the star of the sky, descends in a death-defying slide until it reaches the horizon where lavender and pink burst as if a plane was skywriting in streams across the wide expanse. The colors bleed to gray until light is extinguished. In summer, the gap filled with fireflies dancing over the grass, their backs glowing intermittently as they flutter in the twilight. Evening comes as a whisper, always a surprise, when the gray turns to black as the streetlights appear. Hard on the heels of day, birds begin their evening tweets, flying to trees for safety, and we slip back into our homes to locked doors and lighted living rooms, waiting for evening to turn to night. End poem.
Wow, Barbara. That brought back a memory from my childhood. Very well done.
That's an old poem. That's from 2010. Thank you.
That's very,
I don't know if I ever read that one.
Astounding, but, right. I like what it brought back to me. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. My pleasure. And I will call back for the Bowie thing.
All right. Okay, awesome. Wait. I think we have one more caller that we're going to slide in, and then we are off to do
great.
Bowie.
Okay, right. Great. Okay.
That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio. Of course, we've got our submission that we're going to do, and I'm going to read a poem before the Bowie thing. But before we do that, we're going to take a call from JC in Texas.
Hi, guys. How are y'all?
Doing good. Didn't mean to mislead our audience. How are you doing?
I am doing fine. I had technical difficulties tonight. I was driving, so away from home, and...
You know, who's not having technical difficulties tonight?
I heard, so I just thought I would join in with whatever gremlins are affecting the show tonight.
Bogons. Definitely got to be Bogons. So, do you have a poem you'd like to share?
I do, and this one I wrote last week, and people take it as different things, for me, it's kind of the association of emotion, not necessarily one thing. But it's called You Knot Me, with a K, not with a K. A knot sits firmly, constricting my breath, a ball of emotions impossible to name. Familiar in its discontent, it's a weave of negativity, a conglomeration of pain, despair, abandonment, anger, tears, and fear, amalgamated into this emotion, one that can only be described with the word you. Years have filed its bite, teeth worn with age no longer hold their edge, yet somehow you appear in the face of others' actions, a forgotten call, an appointment not kept, a gentle shove away, a distancing, all bring you back. So once again, I stare you down as you sit heavily on my chest, and I vowed this time you will not bring me to tears. But no matter the words or tears held, you sit firmly, a constricting breath, a knot, a ball of emotion, impossible to name with any one word except you. End poem.
Very right. Are you
Thank
there?
You.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you.
I thought we lost you there again
like,
for a moment.
Hung up on you?
No. I thought we lost you again. I was like, great, she dropped again.
No, I'm still here.
Awesome. I thank you for sharing on our show. We are going to be doing one more segment that's going to be a tribute to David Bowie. Yeah. And you're welcome to call back with your tribute to him.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
That was JCE on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Sometimes it's hard to think we're evolving that much, you know, after every segment.
Yeah.
It's a slow evolution.
It's a slow, yeah. It's a slow evolution.
That's kind of like the formulation of the universe, you know?
It's called a micro evolution.
Micro evolution. Exactly. Exactly. Small. Minuscule.
Okay. Are you...
Atomic.
Are you... No. Okay.
No.
So, I will do another poem. And while I was loading up... loading up the...
On...
No.
No, not on anything.
Chocolate.
While I was loading up poetry to read tonight, I ran across this one. This is one I wrote back in 2013, entitled Ode to New Age Musicians. Here is one poet's grand salute to the players of piano and pan flute. When I was a kid learning bass guitar, my dream was to be a huge rock star. And the thought that has me silly in stitches, wanting to be loved by hippies and witches. I ponder for a moment as I chuckle and laugh. I wonder if one chooses such a path. I feel their choice is to make music of peace, to conjure up spirits of stress release. Alas, in my life, no peace at all did I ever feel than listening to grand piano or glockenspiel. Nothing to me can purely enchant like the sounds of Mike Oldfield or Alex Grant. But for their work, I am so grateful, saving this poet from becoming hateful. Whether on digital, 8-track, or wax, their artistry helps me relax. Freeform jazz, brought forth from the 60s, loved by me, witches, and hippies. There is still no better to fill me with delight. In fact, I listen now, even as I write. So...
Nice.
That was actually written on my anniversary in 2013. I was looking at the day going, hey, that's when I got married.
It's funny because you were saying pan flute, and I actually went on this hilarious, and I'll have to share it in a more intelligent way someday, but this hilarious odyssey of trying to learn the pan flute. It just was such, it ended up, and it wasn't just the pan flute, but it ended up being such a debacle that I just said, you know what, the pan flute obviously does not want me to play.
You know, a lot of our adventures turn up in big debacles like that.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point, isn't it?
Yeah. I think all of Denver likes to watch us go through what we go through and just like shake their head going, idiots.
And I kind of think I'm getting to this point where I'm just wanting to do bigger and bigger things so we can fail more and more spectacularly because it'll just be good for the biography movie.
Yeah, it's kind of like jumping the gorge in a sky cycle for Evel Knievel.
Yeah, or like, you know, instead of an inspirational movie, I think we could be more of a cautionary tale, you know?
Yes.
Just warning you, don't reach too far, especially if you have an IQ below 50.
World Poetry Open Mic. A fable with a moral.
And a moral with that. Never mind.
An immoral. Anyway. All right, so that'll do it for World Poetry Open Mic proper, as insane as it's been. For Michael, JT, and myself, we want to thank you for tuning in. Stay tuned for the David Bowie tribute special. Good night, Robert Moreland, whenever you're at.